Please take your Bibles and turn with me to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 11. We come in our studies to verse 3. Gospel of Luke, chapter 11 and verse 3. This is the fourth petition. Give us day by day our daily bread. We've been engaged in an exposition of the Lord's Prayer over these last few weeks. We've noted from the onset that these six petitions are divided into two. The first three pertaining to God Himself, His name, His will, His kingdom. And the second three, 4, 5, and 6, pertaining to the needs of God's people. And so we come now to the beginning of the second half of these six petitions. And let me just underline for you, and let me say for those who haven't been with us, that there is a primacy that is given in our prayer life to God Himself, to God's glory, to God's kingdom, to God's name, to God's will, to the advance of God's cause. We are, as we just read, to seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. And then secondly, God will add our temporal needs unto us. He will supply for us according to His riches in glory. And so we need to have to be, first of all, most interested in the cause of God and in the glory of God. And so we ask ourselves as we begin the fourth petition, as we consider together the fourth petition, give us day by day our daily bread. Is that true of us? Are we able to transition from a primacy on God's glory to, secondarily, our own neediness? In other words, is His glory more important than our name? Are we willing to have our name trodden under the foot of men, into the muck and mire, if it were to be that His name would be magnified and glorified? Are we willing to embrace Him above all other human beings and have Him above all other human beings? Many of you will have heard the account given of the early church father Jerome, who said that if, you know, my wife stood in front of me and my mother and my brothers and sisters and they hung around my neck in order to keep me from Christ and to deny Christ, he said, I would go through them all in order to have Christ. Is that something that characterizes our own lives? More than our possessions, more than our very life itself, are we in earnest, in dead earnest, to see the cause of God and God's glory advanced above all else? Well, if so, then we can come to this fourth petition and pray with faith. Give us day by day our daily bread. Or, in other words, Lord, grant unto us a competent portion. A portion that is suited to our needs, suited in Your wisdom to our circumstances. Give us a competent portion of all these outward things that are a part of being creatures, of living in this world. Grant unto us a sufficient amount in order to sustain us. Give us day by day our daily bread. Well, notice three things. First of all, we see God's gracious provision. We are all ready to stand and say, it is by grace that we are saved. We can say in Ephesians 2 that faith is the gift of God. But this passage, this fourth petition, reminds us that not just faith, but food is also a gift of God. Our physical provisions are every bit as much a gift as other things. And so 2 Chronicles 1 tells us that God is the one who gives and withholds riches. And Job 20 tells us that God is the one, or Jeremiah 30 rather, tells us that God is the one who can give health to the physical body. And in Job 5, we're told that God is the one who gives rain or withholds rain. You remember how the Lord put this to His people in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18. He's warning them against pride. And he says, having warned them, he says in verse 18, "But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day." He's saying, remember the Lord, because he's the one who gives you the power to get wealth. So the Lord is saying, in the fourth petition, we're to recognize our natural poverty. And children, how were you born into this world? You did not even have clothes on your back. You had no ability to put food in your mouth to feed yourself. You were absolutely helpless and destitute. And really, nothing changes, in a sense, as we grow older. We're still every bit as much dependent upon the Lord for every morsel of food that goes into our mouth and for every provision that is needed. Not a crumb passes through our lips without the Lord having granted it to us. And so he's saying in the fourth petition, we're to see these things, and then we are to seek these things from the Lord. God does not owe us anything. God is not in debt to us. You know, we can never say, the Lord has to give me thus and such. He owes us absolutely nothing. And so every time we are tempted to grumble, every time that we are tempted to complain, what's happening is two things. On the one hand, we're railing against God. You have not given what you owe. And that's a lie. And the other thing is that we are saying, we are not satisfied with what you have given. We're not happy and content with the provisions that you have given to us, provided for us. Remember in David's prayer, 1 Chronicles 29, he says, Lord, we can only give to you what you've supplied. It's of your own that we give to you. And what he's saying is both the wealth that they were devoting to the erection of the temple, as well as the very praise that was pouring out of their hearts, itself had to be given in order that they might offer it to the Lord. Just as in grace and in salvation, God does not owe us a crown of glory. Neither does he owe us the bread to feed our bodies with. And so the petition begins with the word give. Grant, supply, provide. It's underlining God's gracious provision. Here we see something of the goodness of God in his dealings with us. This is God revealing his goodness to us. God is saying, I am willing to come and to provide these blessings. And the Lord never wearies of giving. We spend all of our days, 365 days a year, for however long we live, asking the Lord, give us day by day our daily bread. And the Lord never tires of giving to us. He never wears out. And in all of his giving, his supply is never diminished. It's not as if his treasury is going down little by little every time God gives and provides to his people. Not so. The more he gives, the more things stay the same in terms of his ability to provide. God delights, just as a father loves to take a little child and say, look, daddy has something for you here. This is yours. And the father finds joy in the joy that he is producing within the heart of the child. So God in his goodness delights to refresh and to cheer and to strengthen our hearts. And so how heinous a sin is ingratitude against such a backdrop. We are, as we say, biting the hand that feeds us. Whenever we are ungrateful in any of those circumstances, there's a tendency at times, isn't there, to say, well, there's two types of people, some that see the cup half full and others who see the cup half empty, and I'm just one of those people who sees the cup half empty. and tend to be preoccupied with the negatives or the neediness or what have you. Well, there's a spiritual component to that, isn't there? In our personalities, it may be that some struggle in that area more than others struggle in that area. But there's a spiritual component in that that shows there's a measure of ingratitude. Rather than being satisfied, rather than being satiated by God's kind and gracious dealings, we are instead preoccupied with what we feel we are lacking, what is not going our way, what is not suited to our tastes, what is not adequate in terms of the provision that God is making for us. Ingratitude is a serious affront, isn't it? We're coming to the God of heaven, God having granted our prayer, give us day by day our daily bread, we turn around and rail against him in our hearts. And the Lord exposes that for what it is. In petition, Thomas Watson said, in petition we are like men, but in praise we are like angels. And you see the point that he's making. It is easy for us to go and to seek the Lord. Lord, we need, we lack, help, provide, which is lawful, in fact, essential for us to do. But we need to have wed with those petitions praise and thanksgiving for all that God does, has, and does give to us. Because if our bread, if our daily necessities are a gift from the Lord, then all glory belongs to him. All glory belongs to him for the work of grace in our soul, but all glory belongs to him for every temporal gift that he provides to us, for us. And so praise ought to be our response. Sometimes we dwell too much among second causes in this arena. And what do I mean? A relative sends us money in the mail. And we are so thankful because it came at the right time and it is a great help to us. And we end up sometimes being preoccupied with that relative, how grateful we are to that relative, how thankful we are to that relative, and relative, you know, this our parents or grandparents, whatever it is, how thankful and happy we are. And we fail to give adequate weight to the fact that this is God who has provided things for me. And it's kind of like this. It's kind of like the mailman comes and hands you the letter with the check in it, and you say, I love you, mailman. You're such a wonderful mailman. I'm so grateful to you, mailman. And if all you did was talked about the mailman who handed you the envelope rather than the person who provided the money in the first place, people would think, you know, there was something wrong. And that's kind of how we are. God uses all sorts of different circumstances. It could be an employer. It can be other means that God uses to provide answers to our prayers, giving us what we need. And yet we fail to trace those blessings back to the benefactor. We fail to see the gifts coming ultimately from a divine giver, from the Lord himself. And so we see God's gracious provision in these things. God's gracious provision. He is the one whom we are to seek. And so our ultimate source of help is in God. And therefore our prayer life must reflect that. Petitioning him for our needs. We also need to ask him for the right things, for the right reasons. You know, do we desire these temporal needs for the wrong reasons? For the pride of life, for the glory of our own name, for satisfying our lusts, for the satisfaction of our own desires, and so on. Remember how James warns us of this in James 4 when he says, ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. He's saying we need to ask, but we also need to ask for the right reasons. Is our desire for our temporal needs to be satisfied the purpose of serving God better and glorifying Him most. How we ask should also reflect something of a submissive heart. We ask with submission. When we come to the Lord and we say, Lord, glorify your name. Lord, advance your kingdom with power. There's no conditions there. But when we come and say, Lord, please provide this particular temporal necessity, it is always with the condition, if it be your will. There has to be a submissiveness to receive what God in His wisdom He deems best for us. Well, what about the fact that we already have bread? You know, children, you may be thinking, we're to pray, give us day by day our daily bread, but we know that in the cupboard there's, you know, a loaf of bread, and in the freezer there's five more where that one came from, and there's plenty of food. Why do we ask the Lord to provide food, to provide our temporal necessities, if we already have them? Well, the reason is, the answer is probably obvious, twofold. One, because we're not so presumptuous to think that because we have something now that we'll have it tomorrow. We need the Lord to continue to supply. And what we do have now is only because He supplied. But the other reason is because we not only need the thing itself, but we need divine blessing upon the thing. We need the Lord's blessing on it. We need the Lord to provide a blessing to the temporal necessities that He gives to us. Remember the example of the Israelites? It's spoken about in Psalm 106, verse 15. And He gave them their request. So there it is. They've received their petition. He gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul. We need both the thing as well as God's blessing upon it. Woe be unto us if God gives us our bread and sends leanness to our soul. And so we see God's gracious provision. Secondly, we see daily dependence. Secondly, we see daily dependence. It's interesting because here in Luke, the way that it's put is, give us day by day our daily bread, which in some ways underlines this daily dependence even more than what we find in Matthew chapter 6. Daily dependence. Notice a couple things under this. First of all, you see that it says us. Give us day by day. Why not give me? Why give us? And the reason is because we're not only to have an interest in ourselves and our own families, but there is a corporate interest that we have. And so our prayers are not only for me, or my family, but for the Lord's people as a whole. We're to be praying for others too, not to be so narrow-hearted as to be only interested in ourselves. Praying with a large heart for those others who stand in need. Children, we can illustrate it this way. It's the difference between a spider who's working furiously for himself and a bee who is working for others as well, right? The bees are laying up, gathering all the stuff off the flowers in order to take it back for the nest so that they can all share it together. The Lord's telling us that we're to pray, give us, because our interest is for our brethren as well. We have a responsibility to pray for others who are in need and to bear those burdens with them and to take those things before the throne of grace and to plead and to wrestle as if it were for ourselves on behalf of others. And what a comfort that is to us. You know, we're in the prayer meeting and we hear, you know, a man in the congregation pray for us or our family. And there's a sense of profound comfort and encouragement in that. And, you know, to know that the Lord is laying our needs upon the hearts of our brothers and sisters has a bolstering and an enlivening and a strengthening influence upon us. And so we're to pray not only for ourselves, but also for others. And you see this illustrated in 1 Kings 8, verses 35 to 40. But this matter of daily dependence, day by day, our daily bread, not pray for month by month, Lord, provide our bread for this month, or year by year, we're in January, Lord, please provide the bread or the temporal necessities we have for 2010. No, he says, day by day. And he says day by day for a couple of reasons. One, we are not to be anxious about the future. In Matthew chapter 6, we read together, it says in verse 34, take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for the morrow will take care for the thoughts of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Remember in the wilderness what happened? The Lord didn't dump 5 feet worth of manna on the ground and have them collect it for the month of Adar, and then the next month, boom, another 5 feet of manna came and they shoveled all that into the barns. He gave it to them day by day. And whatever was left at the end of the day spoiled, so that they were made to see every single day, they were made to see their conscious dependence upon the Lord for that day's necessities. He parceled it out little by little. And so it teaches us to not be anxious about tomorrow. What are we going to do tomorrow? You know, what are we going to do next week? What's going to happen next month with all these other things that are taking place? The Lord says, no, you come and ask, give us day by day our daily bread. But there another reason is that we need to live every day as if it was our last. We're not guaranteed tomorrow. I may not be here tomorrow. The Lord has given us no guarantee. Today, we are to live full out, full throttle, unto the Lord, seeking first His kingdom and His righteousness. We're to live as if every day was or is our last day. There's this sense of dependence upon God for His constant support, as well as underlining our need for contentment with our present allowance. You know what happens? You'll see it in children. Some children, as soon as they get maybe candy, woof, and it's gone. Other ones are storing it up. Before you know it, they have seemingly buckets full of candy that they're hoarding away just in case. They need to make sure they have enough for, you know, some time that they might not anticipate. The Lord's saying we need to be content with our present allowance. It's appropriate for us to lay up for the future. It's appropriate for us to be prudent and to save. And there are many, many biblical passages which teach us that. But our contentment has to be matching our present allowance. What God has given us now. So Philippians 4, verse 11. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. He says, I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Paul's saying contentment is something that has to be learned. It doesn't come by osmosis. It doesn't come by accident. It's something that we have to be tutored in, that we have to be exercised in, that we have to learn. And he says, well, when do I learn it? Most of us want to say, well, as soon as this next thing, I get this next thing, then I'll be content. But we know, if we're adults, that never comes. Paul's saying, right now, right here, is where I learn to be content. With where the Lord has me right now, I'm to learn to be content with his dealings with me. And so there's this daily dependence. And when God does give us far in excess, which is the case of everyone here in this room this morning, when God does give us an excess, we're to acknowledge that this is far more than we deserve and far more than we've even sought or prayed for. God has supplied for us above and beyond even what we have prayed for. So there's this daily dependence. Lord, give us a competent portion for our needs for this particular day. But then thirdly, there is our temporal necessities. What is it that we're asking for? Give us day by day our daily bread. So it's described as bread. This is different than what the Bible refers to as the bread of idleness. We don't want that. Or the bread of violence. We don't want that. What is he referring to? He's referring to our basic necessities. He uses bread because it is the most basic necessity to support physical life. Isaiah 3, verse 1, "For behold, the Lord of hosts, doth take away from Jerusalem and from Judah the stay and the staff, the whole stay of bread and the whole stay of water." Saying, if the Lord takes away bread and water, you're finished. It's over. Story is complete. Bread is the basic substance that supports human life, physical life. So he's saying, you pray. Bread is a symbol then of our temporal necessities, of all the various physical necessities that we have. And there's a connection here, isn't there? Our daily bread is connected to our Father. We begin praying, "Our Father that art in heaven, give us day by day our daily bread." In other words, the Lord's people recognize that our temporal neediness is tied to our Father himself. Our children expect that when they wake up tomorrow, there'll be food in the fridge to eat, because that's the way the family works. And, you know, Daddy provides for the family and there's food that's there. And for the Lord's people, because of who our Father is, we have every expectation that our daily bread will be given to us. Our Father in heaven far exceeds in glory, power, and mercy our earthly father. And if our earthly father would not give us a stone when we ask for bread, how much more will our heavenly Father give us what we need? Isn't that what Jesus teaches us? And so in Matthew 6, he says, your Father in heaven knows what you need before you even ask. He knows precisely what your necessities are. Before it comes to your mind, it's already in his mind. Before you utter it, he already sees it. And look at the promises that you have. If he is our Father, the Bible says that all things are ours. All things are ours. And so we're able with confidence to pray, give us our daily bread. If the Lord clothes the fields and they're splendid, they're absolutely gorgeous for a day. Blossoms come up and boom, they're gone. They're thrown into the oven. How much more will your heavenly Father care for you, whom he loves far more, and whom he delights in far more, whom he sent his Son to provide for an eternal salvation? Remember the counsel of Agur in the book of Proverbs, toward the end of the book, you have chapter 30. It says, he says in verse 7, "Two things have I required of thee, deny me them not before I die. Remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain." See what he's saying? He's saying, Lord, give me what's convenient. Give me what's suited to me. The opposite of that spirit is covetousness. And what is it to covet something, children? It's in adult language, an inordinate desire. For you children, what that means is you want something too much. There may be things that are okay to want, but how much you want them makes the way that you want them wrong. Covetousness wreaks all manner of evil. It was covetousness in the heart of Achan that led him to steal, to take what was not his. It was covetousness in the heart of Judas that led him to treason, to betray the Lord of glory for 30 pieces of silver. It was covetousness within the heart of Ahab that led him to murder in order to get what he wanted. It was covetousness in the heart of Demas that ultimately led to his apostasy. He forsook Paul, having loved this present world. The Bible tells us that covetousness leads to idolatry. It's how Paul defines it in Colossians chapter 3. He says in verse 5, "Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry." It is covetousness in the heart of a man that will lead them to embrace the devil. I mean, one of the accounts that were given of Pope Sylvester II, who's the first French pope, who lived during the turn of the first millennium, lived during the time of when it went to from 999 to 1000, that we're told that he sold his soul to the devil for a popedom in order to secure a position as pope. It leads to all manner of evil, this covetousness. Here the Lord is saying, ask for your temporal necessities. If God gives more, then bless him for it and thank him for it. But seek that moderate provision which is suited to our particular needs. God will bless what little we have. If it be little, and if we feel it's meager, God will richly bless it to us and make it to be satisfying to our hearts. He will fit it to us. If we were to take one of you little children and to take Pastor's suit and put it on you, it would look silly, wouldn't it? You wouldn't be able to walk in the long pants and so on. It's not suited to you. It's not fitted for your size. And this is what God does for us in providence. We say, Lord, give us our daily bread. And he comes and he fits what he provides to precisely, in his wisdom, what he thinks is suited to us. And we see the love of God behind it all. We see that's brought out especially in Matthew 6, isn't it? How God's love is behind all of these provisions. How the love of a Father is quieting our hearts as we see day after day after day throughout our earthly pilgrimage, God providing again and again and again against what seems like overwhelming odds, against what seems like overwhelming pressures. The Lord continues to supply so that we're able to say with the psalmist, we have lived many years and yet we have never seen the righteous begging bread. Never seen the righteous begging bread. Because our Father always provides our bread, our daily bread. There's a call here for us to be satisfied with the Lord. Satisfied with the Lord. The Lord sometimes will wean us. Sometimes he'll lavish us with blessing to show us his bounty and kindness and to make our hearts rejoice in him. Other times he'll wean us from temporal blessings in order to redirect us from placing an inordinate amount of desire in the things of this world, and in order to transfer our hearts from those things to where they ought to be centered in him, in the Lord himself. And so the Lord will sometimes pull in the strings and tighten things up a little and set us back where we ought to be, saying, wait a second, my satisfaction, my happiness, my delight and contentment in this world is found ultimately outside of this world. It is in the Lord himself. And so, Lord, give us day by day our daily bread. May the Lord glorify himself in providing such for us. Let's stand together for prayer. Our gracious Lord and our God, our Father that art in heaven, we are thankful that like little dependent children, we are able to come and to lift up our little childish voices and to say, Father, provide for us today the bread that we need for this day. Confirm, O Lord, and strengthen our faith. Lead us to trust in you more as we see your faithfulness confirmed again today. As we see your bounty and provision provided again today. Give us day by day our daily bread. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.